Blog Talk Radio.
My weehive can talk in a special way. There are some things they help me say. Hello, come here, is it okay? Nice to meet you, how are you today?
Welcome to WeeHands Radio. Learn to connect with your baby, toddler, and preschool child. I'm your host, Sarah Bingham. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I am Sarah Bingham. I'm the founder of WeeHands and the author of the baby signing book. WeeHands is all about connecting with your child by using sign language to help encourage language development and so many other fun things. We get to connect with parents and help each other, help parents get to know each other, help them build their communities, and introduce parents to amazing individuals and experts in those communities. And today I have the opportunity to chat with one of those folks. Allison Leach is a school director and teacher at Morneau Chapelle's Children's Support Solutions. And today we're going to talk about early education, we're going to talk about special needs, and we're going to talk about nurturing children with differences. Allison, welcome to our wee little show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Thank you for taking the time to chat with me. I think this is a really important topic. I know when I'm talking to parents in our classes and they're learning to sign with their little ones and their little ones are starting to sign back, which is amazing. One of their biggest fears is what happens when I send them to childcare, or if they go to a childcare provider or center and the childcare center doesn't recognize their signs. I think handing over your little one to somebody to take care of them when you're working is one of the hardest things to do. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate so much what you do. But I want to back up a little bit. You're in Toronto at Morneau Chapelle's Children's Support Solutions. Where did you grow up and what were you like as a child? And I have to tell everybody, I've known Allison for a little bit and I'm really curious to how she's going to answer this question about her childhood.
Oh, wonderful. So I grew up in Mississauga in Ontario. I grew up with my older brother and my two parents. We were a pet-free home. But I have grown to love pets, and I am hoping soon in the future to get one. And what I was like as a child, I guess not any different than I am now in terms of my personality. I was always told I was a very bubbly, outgoing. I do remember always being a chatty Cathy and being told on report cards that I was always a talker. So I did have the gift of gab at a very young age, and I still think I have that gift. I was very outgoing.
I'm gonna confirm that. Yes, that you do.
Great. I always did have an interest with little ones, and I know I have memories I can recollect of my family and aunts and uncles always telling me, you're going to be a teacher. You are bound to be a teacher. If there's anything you do in this world, you will do something with kids. And lo and behold, they were right, and I followed that dream, and here I am today with Morneau Chapelle.
Well, and I've been looking at your CV and your profile on LinkedIn. You've got a lengthy education.
Yes, I do. It was funny the way that all worked out was I was the last year to have, if you can recollect, the OAC, so the grade 13 year. When I was leaving high school, I had to actually go out with double the amount of candidates that was applying to universities and colleges. So that put a little bit of pressure on in terms of getting into the program that I desired in university. So I decided to go the college route first. I did go to George Brown is where I started and got my ECA, so my early childhood assistant diploma. And from there, I went to Sheridan College and got my educational assistant, my ECE diploma. Early childhood education diploma. And then from there, I went to York University. I got my undergrad in sociology, my Bachelor of Arts. And from there, I went to University of Windsor to do my final year of teacher's college. And here I am.
That's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
The
more the better is what I think.
The more the better, absolutely. So now
I don't know if my parents would say that.
I'll talk to him next show.
Great.
Now, doing what you do, and I'm really excited because what you're doing at Montessori Pilot Preschool there is so incredibly different. But people know you, they know you've got an education background, that you're a certified teacher in Ontario. When you're introduced to somebody who is not work-wise, say if you're introduced at a family birthday party, how do you describe what you do?
I always start with plain and simple. I am a teacher. That is first and foremost. I am the director of the program here. However, I do spend most of, I'd say 90% of my days within the class teaching the kiddos. So I start with, I am a teacher. I explain that I do work with different kiddos of different abilities. So I have lots of experience with kiddos on the spectrum, with global developmental delays, speech and language delays, Down syndrome. So I've got a wide encompass of different abilities that I've had the pleasure of working with over the years. So it's kind of unique. I say I'm a teacher, but I work with a very awesome group of kiddos, and I'm lucky to be in this area, I think. So I do just pretty much say that, yeah, I'm a teacher, just in a very different setting.
I'm sitting here smiling because I've seen you work, and you are just so bubbly and it's fantastic. But share with our listeners what is different about the preschool that you're the director and you're teaching in.
So what sets us apart mainly and solely is, well, a few things I'll say. Our curriculum is designed based off the principles of ABA. So to backtrack here, I first started in the company as an instructor therapist, so implementing the ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis Therapy, with kids on the spectrum. And from there, the preschool program was actually developed a year into my work experience as an IT. And when the preschool program was developed, I took the opportunity and spoke with the director at the time and said I was really interested in heading up that program. And so what we did is we did a combination of ABA. So we used the principles, the same teaching styles of ABA, as well as cross-referencing the kindergarten curriculum. So we encompass both, and I do that so that I have kids who do come to me on alternating schedules and such who do also attend their public schools or their home schools. And so for the reason being, I incorporate the kindergarten curriculum is I don't want there to be too much of a shock for our kiddos when they head out into the real world of public school system. So I like to make sure that what we're teaching is also parallel to what the schools are also providing.
I think that's fine. And as a teacher, you can definitely do that. So, and what you're doing is you're, for those little ones who are in the regular school system, you're augmenting what they get. And then is it also an alternative to regular kindergarten?
Yes. So we do have, it could be an alternative. It could be a supplemental program as well. So I do have kiddos who come for 5 full days throughout their JK and SK years. Grade 1 is usually when we part. That's the hardest time. That's when I do say goodbye to my troops and off they go, as the goal of the preschool program here at Morneau is to prepare them for grade 1. I do work with a small group ratio, so that's another benefit of having a program as such that we have here, is that our ratio is 4 to 1. So we have 4 kiddos to 1 teacher in the class. And the group size in and itself is about 8 to 10 children in the class. So that's a nice size to really zone in on some behaviors that might be happening, or some extra academic push that is needed, or, tackling any issue that parents bring forth. Because, like I said, our demographic of clients is not only children with different abilities, it's also typical developing children as well that we welcome into the program. And we've had a great response with opening that up into the program, because it is actually new that we've opened the doors. Like I said, Puzzle Pieces originally started with just autism, and it's been so awesome for me to grow and learn so much about what else is out there, and how beneficial this program is for every child who's just needing that extra little attention that we can provide. So yes, some kids do supplement with our program, so they'll come to us on maybe, an alternate day of their homeschool, or we have kids who come for 5 full days for the whole year, and like I said, for JK and SK, then off they go into grade 1.
Well, I think it's so often, if I go back into my therapeutic life, when I started as a therapist, we used sign language, I mean, before I started, for kids who had hearing difficulties, and definitely it's still used. It's the language of the deaf in
Absolutely.
North America.
Right.
But I was working with kids with Down syndrome and autism who, some of them had hearing impairment, some of them didn't. So we were signing with them. And whatever the strategy is, whether it's sign language, whether it's ABA, IBI, all these acronyms, applied behavior analysis, intensive behavioral intervention, or even things like the picture exchange communication system. Whatever is created for one population, so many different populations, neurotypical and typical, every child can benefit from these strategies because they're good ways to teach.
Absolutely, absolutely. I oftentimes, part of my role is I integrate our kids into the system. So I do a lot of transition meetings and such, and I often see some of our strategies being used by, you know, teachers and support workers and ECs in the class. And it's just wonderful to see that it's not a one-size-fits-all, and it can be applied to so many different, like you had said, neurotypical developing kiddos. So it's really a great thing to see that happening in the schools.
Well, I know when I was working with adults with developmental delays, we used a lot of visual schedules. And then when I had my own kids, I made visual schedules for their bedtime, and it helped so much.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can attest to that. I've actually shared a few strategies with a few of my friends so I can see some visuals at home. And I've worked on, even for my own family, I've actually worked with one of my uncle. I've developed some strategies and tools for them to use actually out west in Vancouver. So it really, you know, the knowledge I have can be used in so many different ways and to be shared as well. So.
Fantastic. I know that we had our weekly Twitter party last Tuesday, and I was talking about one of our students. I have communicative disorder assistant students that are piloting our 1-2-3 Sign With Me program, and one of them is with you. I think she started this week, and I was chatting with one mom who has a little one with Williams syndrome on Twitter, and she was really interested in what you're doing because of the sign language, but she just was just like, okay, tell me more. And I think that you're able to see so many kids, and you're connected with so many professionals at Children's Support Solutions. It's a wonderful service that you're offering.
It really is. It's such an interdisciplinary approach, truly. I work hand in hand, and every day, it's an everyday communication that I have with these other professionals that I work with, my colleagues. So I constantly am chatting with speech and language pathologist and occupational therapist and physiotherapist, and really getting a holistic approach into the program and making sure that we can do as much as we can in a day. You know, I really try to seize the moment with every minute because it really does count. And it's so fortunate that these children are able to be in one place and access all these services. And so that's, I guess, another bonus into our program here.
Down the hall in the next room, hanging out with you is just so incredibly beneficial. How long has the preschool been there for the little one?
So Puzzle Pieces has been, the preschool program has been operating for 6 years. This is our seventh. And I myself, I just missed the first year because that was actually the year I took to go to teacher's college. So I have been a part of the program for 5 years, this being my sixth. Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been really great. And watching it change and grow in so many different ways has been awesome. And I've been very fortunate to be able to be a part of that growth. And I really do value all of the knowledge I've gained from my colleagues. It's been amazing, really and truly.
So the little ones that you're working with and playing with, because I know you're doing a lot of playing, what's the age range that you're currently seeing?
So I have, right now, currently, I have 4, 5, and 6, just turned 6, as he's on his way to grade 1, but I have had the ages 3 to 5, is typically the age range that we have our program cater to. Just because I say a little, if they're a little bit, in my experience, I have had one child stay back with me for grade one. We did try it, and it unfortunately was a really difficult transition afterwards for that little guy. So I really put the emphasis on the JK SK years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, when you're talking about different abilities and even different ages, if somebody's born in January versus someone born in December, there's such a huge range.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love that they can go back and forth as needed. So yes. You've been doing this for 6-7 years. Lots of different kids. What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned?
Oh, boy. I've learned so many. I say every day I take a lesson home. I'd say one of the one that really stands out to me is never underestimate the abilities. It's so true that kids are always listening and kids are always absorbing everything you say and your body and your language and your demeanor and your facial expressions. And I mean, they're just little sponges. It's so true. But the biggest lesson is just never underestimate their ability. They really, I do feel that sometimes kiddos with different abilities are underestimated and that they might not be able to do the tasks that their typical developing peers can do. And lo and behold, it's surprising to find that maybe they've even surpassed their typical developing peers in certain areas, because I have had that happen. And it's really put things in perspective that, and I think in my approach, and to those that have seen me work can attest to it, I really treat these children that there is no difference. There is no label. There is no different ability. I treat them all as if this were just your regular kindergarten class. And I like that approach. I feel it's benefited not only myself, but the children and the families. It's been really nice to hear feedback from families that, sometimes I often hear families say, oh, you're talking to them so grown up. Sometimes we often, with little guys, our voices go up and we get really excited to talk to little guys. But I oftentimes think, hey, good morning, how's it going? We'll do just the trick. And, it's the response I get from just that neutral tone from them is much more successful. So I've been finding out those little things along the way, but I've really come to realize that they are just never to be underestimated.
I think that's incredibly respectful, and mm-hmm. I love the idea of keeping expectations high, because you never know what someone's going to do, and you know what they'll surprise you so often.
Oh. Yes, and it's really lovely to see when they've generalized that, when I can show not only did they do it with me, but now I can show that they're doing it with mom and dad, or they're doing it at school with their teacher or with their friends. That to me is probably the most rewarding, is to see what they've learned here and apply it elsewhere. And that's the goal, again, of one of the goals of part of this program is to learn that generalization piece and make sure that what we're teaching here doesn't just happen here. It's important that it happens at home and that it happens at school. So that's the most rewarding part, I believe.
I love it. And thinking of even just going back to this mom who I was chatting with on Twitter. Twitter is awesome. she has a 2-year-old with Williams syndrome. So what kind of advice would you give to parents who are in the community, have a little one with special needs, and are just getting into that, I'm terrified, I've got to hand over my child to somebody at some point in time because I have to go back to work and they have to mm-hmm. start mm-hmm. their formal education. What kind of advice would you give to parents who are just about ready for you?
Just starting. So I find the best piece of advice for parents is to really lean on each other in terms of networks for groups of, mommy groups or parent support groups. I find sometimes going through the system is a little bit scary for new time parents, and whether that be navigating the school route or going through private treatments, whatever mode of route they choose to take. But I always like to hear that parents supporting each other, and specifically with preschool, our parent groups are wonderful. I mean, they stay connected through email, and they let each other know, if there's something happening new in the community, hey, there's a class here happening. So I always find that parents parent to parent is always a great support system. It also just alleviates a little bit of the nervousness of embarking on this alone. It's sometimes often comforting to know that you're going to be working with somebody or chatting with somebody who has the experience or who has maybe gone through it or maybe not, and they're just going on this adventure together. It's always nice to have supports, and I think that really makes a difference is widening your support system and leaning on parent groups and such. But I would suggest to start there and start looking to see if, you know, there's recommendations and such and you know, blogs and great things that we do are also beneficial as well.
I think it's really important because you may meet a parent that's one or two steps ahead of you, and you can help, they can help you navigate whatever system you're trying to navigate, and then you in turn do the same thing for the next parent that comes along. And you learn from so much from each other.
Absolutely.
It's just as well that just that friendship part. Again, we're talking about helping, what we do is help kids connect with their caregivers and parents and families using sign language, but it's really important to help parents connect and just
absolutely
ears
absolutely
to listen to.
Right, exactly. It's like I said, very comforting, and I know in having to work with the families I've worked with over the years that usually is the advice that they say to me is, you know, it was so great when I started this that I was able to turn to that mommy group that I was a part of and just sort of get some help navigating which road that is the best or worked for them, and, you know, let's try and see. I always say you never know until you try as well with different I guess that's another piece of advice I always say to parents, and especially when I typically get when I meet with new families, is I don't know what schools, like which route to take. Do I go private? Do I go Montessori? Do I go Catholic? Do I go public or private? You know, I always get those questions, and I always say the best, I mean, and I've learned this from my own mother, is it's a mother's intuition, that feeling that you just get you're in the right place. And oftentimes I really encourage parents to get out and view the facility that they're might be interested in or see the school that they're hoping to go to. And, you know, because oftentimes when you get there, your perception of what was maybe might change, or the feeling you have is just not what you hoped for. So it is always beneficial to really get out there and feel it and look at it and get in and see what it's like and what the supports might be like.
Yeah. And there's so many options, public, private, different religious schools, mm-hmm. Montessori.
Absolutely.
There's so many options now. It's amazing. And with your little kitties, that I'm just seeing when I visit the preschool that you've always got such a smile on your face. What keeps you interested in doing what you do?
Oh, I really love what I do. I really, really, truly do. I think, and I was always told this growing up, really love what you do because it'll make a difference. And I guess that's true. You know, I'm really coming to see that full circle is I enjoy getting up every morning. I really look forward to seeing my kids every day. They make me laugh. I can always count on them. It's funny when I know I'm going to have, you know, if I've had a bad traffic-y morning or, you know, I spilled my coffee in the car, I always know coming to work I'm going to get a laugh and I'm going to forget about those things and I'm going to be reminded that this is why I'm here. You know, it's not the coffee that got me here. It's these little guys. And I truly, yeah. You know, as funny as it's as cheesy, but I really love it. I love kids, and I love this area that I'm really delved into in the last few years. I'm really enjoying it, and I think it's just I see the potential, and I believe in every one of my kids that, you know, there is endless possibilities for them, and oftentimes I like to be a little cheerleader for them and to really encourage parents that, you know, we will do this together. I'm a very hands-on with families, so we work really closely, the families and I, in developing a really concrete program and making sure we're encompassing all the goals that they have. But also part of that is working with parents and coaching parents on the strategies I'm using or, you know, I'm working right now with one mom. She stands out because she's really awesome and she's doing so much every day, and she always says to me, okay, so what did I do that right, or should I change the way I'm standing, or do I close my arms, or do I not? And it's those moments there just reaffirm that I'm doing the right thing, because it's so you know, encouraging for me to know that I'm playing such an important piece in this family's life right now is really helping them be mm-hmm. successful with their children in any capacity, whether that's playing or doing letters or doing bath time. It's, like I said, one of the most rewarding pieces is just seeing the potential and watching it get and being reached by them.
I love it. And you know what? I'm thinking about your preschool has been around for 6 years. I've been practicing for 19 plus years. and I think of how many infants and toddlers and preschoolers that I've come across with Down syndrome and autism, and oh my gosh, something went wrong. We don't know what it was. And all the parents that I've talked to, and if you had been around in the last 20 years and what you're doing at the Children's Support Solutions Preschool, I just think of all my past parents and how you could have helped them and what wonderful support you're offering now is just amazing. Having talked with them, and you know what, I've talked with so many of those parents, but you've had those conversations as well. And again, handing your child off to a school system for the first time is so hard. When you're talking about little ones who may have special needs, it just your heart is just broken. But knowing that what you're doing is there for them is amazing, and you have them for so much time. It's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I spend the most I feel with them, right? I'm there together 6 to 8 hours per day with some of my guys, 5 days a week. So it really. I sometimes joke, but I'm a part of your family. I'm the teacher, but I also am, I like to believe, just an important person that will help. You know, I really want to help is what I'm out to do is do as much as I can to give back. And so I hope I'm achieving that by building the relationships I have. I know I can attest to the few the many relationships I've built over the years, but the few that have really, I mean, I have still stayed in touch, and some of those families I'm still visiting with, and I still go and see my old children in their schools being amazingly successful. So it's such a reward for me to go back. I know I taught one little guy for 3 years, and I just went and saw him in grade 2, and I was so proud of him. And it's really important for me to keep those relationships. And so, I guess I am a part of the family at some point.
Absolutely.
I guess you adopt a teacher when you come here, too.
Like that. You're a totally fun part of the family as well.
Right.
In doing what you're doing, you're with the kids for so long, you've been doing this in your classrooms and in the preschool. Are there resources, parenting resources or preschool resources or products that you wish you'd invented that you would just think, okay, every classroom I have has to have this in it?
Oh, dear. There are so many. I would love. I wish I could have kept a post-it for all the ones that I did say on the days where I was like, oh, I should have thought of that. I would love in a perfect world to have sand and water and shape, like all the messy stuff. But funny enough, those are the things that really, those things can take off in different places, right? You can mix sand and add to sand, but I'd love to see that stuff everywhere in the class. Unfortunately, my class is a little small to have my little sensory bins in, so I keep them out. But I always say if I could just add in a little like drop down of a sensory table just to have ready on hand all the time is would be my dream. And chalkboards everywhere. It's really fun to see kiddos use chalk on the walls, as funny as that sounds, but chalkboards is a real fun thing. And there's so many I wish I could have invented along the way. I'm just going to keep that in my Shark Tank jar.
I'm also picturing you as a child playing teacher and having the chalkboard and
yep, and it's funny, I have a pointer now, actually. This year I got a pointer, as funny as it sounds, as a gift. One of my parents gave me a pointer with a little hand, and it's the best thing ever. And I can probably remember when I, lining up my little animals and playing the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Now I am doing it for real. So, yeah, pretty nostalgic for sure.
Sensory stuff is amazing. And what is that magic kinetic thing or whatever it is? It's just everybody I see goes to it, and just whether they're a CEO or a 7-year-old or a 3-year-old little one, it's just wonderful.
Yes.
One of the earlier centers that I walked into a couple of months ago when I was doing your presentation, it was babies, and you'd probably eat all the babies up. It was babies.
Oh,
all down in the diaper. There was big plastic sheet on the floor,
oh,
and they were playing with, puffed rice cereal. And they had it stuck everywhere, but they were so happy. It's the sensory stuff that is so fun. The messier, the better.
That's what I always say. And if you go home messy, you've had a great day. And if you're in a change of clothes, even better. I used to take out shaving cream, and those days would be epic in terms of what a catastrophe, but what a lesson learned in those days, right? Like squishing and the sounds and the colors and the way it feels and how it smells. And, there's endless possibilities with sensory things. So Sarah, when we were part of, or when I was lucky enough to join you at the Baby Time show, I remember one of the booths had synthetic sand, and I was captivated. I just wanted to know, and I found out they have it at Chapters, I believe, or Indigo, this sand, and it is fun. I remember seeing everybody pass by, and even parents
were
like,
what
is
it? Had to get in there.
It was awesome. So there's things coming out all the time.
I know what to get you for Christmas down the road.
It's on my wish list.
A favorite book that you have, and why do you love it? You're a teacher.
I've read a few. The most recent one, actually, that I took on a trip with me was The Reason I Jump by Paul Mitchell, I believe was his name. Mitchell's last. I believe it was Paul Mitchell. And it was written in a perspective, I'm not sure if you have a chance yet to read it, Sarah, but it was written from a perspective of, I believe, a 12 or 14-year-old boy, a Japanese boy. So it was translated to English. And it was written from this kiddo who just answered questions in a very question and answer type book, but it really gave an insight into why and how they feel things and why they do what they do. And it was so interesting. I remember on the plane, every 2 seconds just sharing it with my significant other, and I say, hey, look, read this. And I could picture every page I was reading. I could think of one of my kiddos in my years of teaching that applied to. So that was a great read. I think I might have even read that in a few hours. I couldn't put it down. So that was a great one. And Explosive Child was an amazing read. I have so many.
Googling while you're talking, and I'm going to get links to all of these.
Wonderful.
Explosive Child by Ross Green. We'll get those links
Ross
up.
Green,
and the other
yes.
one is The Reason I Jumped, the Inner Voice of a 13-Year-Old Boy with Autism. Oh, I want to read that one.
Yes. Great, great reads.
So good. Are you Children's Support Solutions? Are they on Twitter, on Facebook? How does... Say again, this mom of 2-year-old, how can parents get in touch with you and share how we can find you?
Yes, so we are on Facebook. I believe we are, I'm positive it's under Children's Support Solutions. And I know we have some preschool pictures up there, so you will be able to see some of our classroom photos. Otherwise, I myself, I am on LinkedIn. And I am working on Twitter. I am really working on getting Twitter up. I know I myself personally am not on Twitter, but I need to catch up. So we will get those wheels in motion. But, otherwise, Morneau Chappelle does have its website, morneauchappelle.com, Children's Support Solutions. You will see, even if you Googled our school puzzle pieces, you will get a hit there of our website. So,
awesome. I will get all of the links for everybody. And I'm just on childrensupportsolutions.morneauchappelle.com so folks can find you and I can connect you with at least this one mom that I was chatting with last week.
Please.
It's wonderful. And I want to see lots more pictures. And you know what? Shaving cream and colored shaving cream and pictures. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Oh, yes. Coming your way.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Allison. And,
great. Thank you for having me.
I love what you're doing and love what you're offering families, and you know what, your enthusiasm and joy in what you do, and it sounds so joyful. Definitely comes through in what you do with your happy, happy smile. I'm just picturing
it. Thank you so very much. Oh, Sarah, you're so kind. Thank you very much. A smile goes a long way.
It absolutely does. Thank you so much, Allison, for joining us. And I have to say that I've worked with her for, I don't know how long I've worked with you now, but she is the happiest, smiliest person in the world. So we'll get those links up for all of those families who are looking for preschool support for the little ones in the Toronto area. We are just about out of time. Go so fast. Definitely reach out to me on Twitter if you've got questions. We're at Twitter. We have been around for, my goodness, 14 years teaching children sign language and helping little ones language development and helping them learn. And we've got lots of interactive and fun classes and some tailored products as well. Just last year, WeHands became a part of Morneau Chapelle's Children's Support Solutions, and it's just been an incredible journey. We're able to meet with so many folks and parents of all abilities, parents and children with all abilities. Morneau Chapelle Children's Support Solutions, it's an organization that provides health-centered and educational services to children with differences to help them reach their potential, whatever the age of the child. I want to thank you for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time. And we'll answer any questions that you have, and I'll introduce you to some more of my amazing parenting experts. If you do have any parenting or early language development topics that you'd like me to cover, just let me know. You can email me at sbingham@morneauchapelle.com or info@wehands.com. You can find me on Twitter at @wehands. Until next time, I'm Sarah Bingham, WeHands founder and author of the Baby Signing Book. Bye-bye.